Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody locked in all over North America on a Friday night, a Friday evening. I wish you well. I send you love wherever the hell you might be. And damn it, if you don't want my love, then too bad for you. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He is in New York City. You're listening. Are you on the Free Odyssey app? Are you tuned in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate? Are you on Sirius XM, channel 158? How about a smart speaker? Are you listening there? If you have one, you can ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Easy stuff. We've had a busy, busy show. Some cool guests. Man, we got another cool guest coming up in about 20-ish minutes or so. What a day. First of all, thank you so much to our guest last hour. We had an opportunity to talk to a legend of U.S. soccer. A Hall of Famer of U.S. soccer, Clint Dempsey, joined us last hour. If you missed it, hit rewind on the Free Odyssey app. Thank you to our guest earlier in the show. Jared Diamond gave us a holler. All things baseball. He covers all things baseball for the Wall Street Journal. And our next guest, in our next break, we're going to have Emma Jane Wilson here. Now, I am not Jody Mack, okay? I don't think you can confuse us. And shout outs to my main man, Jody Mack. I love Jody Mack. Emma Jane Wilson is going to join us next hour. She became, a couple of days ago, the highest earning female jockey in history. More than $90 million in earnings. Everybody's making money here. I'm going to ask her how she became a jockey and horses. And I'm going to ask her, is it too late for me to learn? The answer is probably yes. Emma Jane Wilson is going to join us in our next break. And speaking of money, we learned earlier today that there's actually a human being that loves the New York Knicks, that loves being a part of the Knicks, that wants to be a Knick. His name is Jalen Brunson. He wants to be a Knicks so damn bad. He wants to win with the Knicks so damn bad that he left $113 million on the table. Jalen Brunson signing a 4-year contract extension with the Knicks. $156 million. He could have signed a deal for $269 million. That's I guess we can call that a nice. Hickey, is that called being a nice guy? Is he being nice? What is that? I don't know what you call that.
Team friendly. I mean, he's still rich, but he's not greedy, maybe?
Ah, team friendly. Yes. He's a team player.
Team player.
The man is a team player. Is he still going to be a team player when the next contract he's like, screw this, give me the 329?
I'd probably say he'll chase the big number then.
Uh-huh. A 4-8. He can sign this. Is the world going to explode by then?
Like, would that be 2029? I hope not.
Yeah, $418 million on one contract. I remember when the deals that like Kevin Garnett and he was going to get like 120, and it was just like, oh my god, we need a lockout. There's so much money available right now. 400. I every time I think about the money these NBA players make, I just stop and I think about Victor Wembanyama. Like, what can I don't, that the world may crash, the sports world may crash before we get to a billion-dollar athlete. Could you imagine Victor Wembanyama signing a billion-dollar contract and living in San Antonio? Is he going to buy the city? Like, what do you do with that?
Austin, do you rename it?
Wembanyama Land?
Why not, right?
He could open up his own. A Wembanyama Land. What would you have there? He built his own Eiffel Tower. He would change the economy of San Antonio. He would. Good for him. Victor Wembanyama getting ready to take on Team USA. Well, let me not be specific. He getting ready for the Olympics, just like everybody else. I see Team USA basketball. They've arrived in Abu Dhabi. They got some friendlies out there before they go out to Paris. So they just globe trekking. Jason Tatum will be tired. Maybe Jaylen Brown needs to be happy that they left him at home. Jaylen Brown doing it big at the ESPYs last night, too. Made sure everybody saw his date. Didn't want to answer any questions about being left off of Team USA. You would have thought that he was there just so he did not get fined. And obviously, being here on the air, I could see the ESPYs. I couldn't hear them. I saw Prince Harry was there. I saw Andy Reid was there. I think Prince Harry got the Pat Tillman Award for courage, for all the work he's done with the Invictus Games, for Wounded Warriors. Hickey, did I miss anybody else? No, right? Did I see Draymond there? Did I make that up? I didn't see Draymond, did I?
I don't know if he was there. I don't know. I mean, well, I guess he's a personality. So I was going to say, I don't know why he'd be there, but that would explain it. I don't know if he was there.
Who are you talking about? Draymond?
Draymond, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. ESPYs are a fun time, man. I've been quite a few times to the ESPYs. Great times. I remember one day, Hickey, like across the theater, and I could tell this is pretty much one of the only guys I could tell from across the theater. You know the Big Show from WWE?
Yes.
I could see him from across the theater.
Checks out.
I don't know how he was able to fit in a seat because them seats were tight. And for a small guy like me, I'm like, how the hell is the Big Show? He's the only guy I could see from across the room. And it's just like, well, what? And I think John Cena hosted one of the years that I was there. And time flies when you're having fun. Last night, Serena Williams actually hosted the ESPYs. And Serena Williams, we know her as a tennis player, and I don't know what else she does. She does fashion stuff. She's married to one of these tech billionaire guys. And, you know, she also does investments in things. I need to hit off her some money, by the way. But she was a host. She is not a comedian. They did not pull an athlete onto the stage this year. Well, they did not pull an active athlete. They didn't pull an entertainer. There was no comedian. It was Serena. Now, she had some jokes. Her and her sister were up there at one point in time, and they were making jokes about Harrison Butker. Because, of course, if you have Serena doing the ESPYs, of course they're going to highlight women's sports and women's athletics. And so Serena and Venus took a chance and an opportunity to, I don't know, kick Harrison Butker where it hurts.
So go ahead and enjoy women's sport like you would any other sports. Because they are sports. Yes.
Except you, Harrison Butker. We don't need you.
At all. Like ever.
Oh, damn. Now, Hickey, I don't think he was there last night. Harrison Butker has been to the ESPYs before. That I know. Do you think he was just sitting at home? It doesn't matter if he was watching or not. But imagine you just in your house, minding your business. And then people are just taking a dump on you. Could you imagine that?
I hope to never have to say something where all of a sudden, you know, you think it's gone, the storm has passed, and boom, here it is at your front door again.
Well, it's not like Harrison Butker apologized. He just kind of, everybody kind of just like, hey, that's who he is. He believes what he believes. That's not what I believe. Maybe he doesn't care. I would have loved that. That's just me looking for a mess. I would have loved it if he responded last night. Like, if he could you imagine? And it, I guess there's a no-win situation. But could you have imagined if he would have just told Serena, hey, Serena, mind your business, get in the kitchen? Could you imagine that?
Oh, my God.
it
you pulled a Conor McGregor, I apologize for absolutely nothing.
I mean, well, Conor McGregor has said some worse things.
He has, yes.
This guy, listen, Conor McGregor, I'm not going to say he needs a statue because what he said was disgusting. He's the only man that I've ever heard of in my life who, I don't care if this is a street fight or an octagon or where it is. This is the only man that was laid out on the floor with a broken leg, a beaten man who decided to talk trash about another man who just beat him about this guy's wife. That takes an individual who's been punched in the head quite a few times. But anyway, Harrison Butker wasn't the only individual who caught a little bit of, dare I say, smoke. Scottie Scheffler caught some too, okay? Scottie Scheffler, I don't think he was there. I don't know what the hell he was doing. Is he participating in the Scottish Open? That's where he is, right?
I'm assuming so, yes.
Man, it was, well, who showed up at the ESPYs, I guess? I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, Nikki Glaser, you might know that name because she was at the Tom Brady roast. You're talking trash about everybody. Well, last night, she wanted to talk about Scottie Scheffler and his little incident from a couple of months ago.
It is such an honor to present the award for Best Male Athlete. The nominees include peak athletes who push their bodies to the limit and also a golfer. I'm sorry, Scotty. I do know that golfing is hard. I mean, there's putting, chipping, and driving over a cop's leg. I mean...
Now, Hickey, imagine if you're the cop. He thought his 15 minutes were over. He got a plug last night.
Right back into the fray.
Yeah. Well, he enjoyed that because, I mean, when you're a police officer and you're putting out messages and, like, people care about who you are, and I'm sure he absolutely loved that last night. Yeah, the ESPYs are fun, man. The ESPYs are fun. If I wasn't here, Hickey, I might have been out there in Los Angeles. Maybe, I don't know. It's been quite a time. You do the red carpet, you watch the show, which is long as hell. That part's not fun. The after party is pretty fun. So, Serge Ibaka, I haven't seen him in a few years. He used to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I interviewed Serge. I've met him a bunch of times. We have a guy that we have mutual friends with. And so I'm at one of the parties, Hickey. And Serge, I see Serge. And, hey, JR, sir, hey, how are you? Da-da-da-da-da, whatever, right? And then Serge Ibaka goes, let me introduce you to my girlfriend. And I go, okay, all right, bro, whatever. And he goes, yeah, Ketty. This is JR Ketty. And I go, Kerry, hey, how are you? I'm looking at this lady. She looks familiar. And I'm just like, oh, this is not Kerry from around the block. And she's not, you know, no disrespect, she's not Beyonce, but it's Kerry Hilson, who at the time had one of the top R&B songs. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, of course. Serge Ibaka could not just introduce me to, you know, Kerry, just the generic Kerry. It had to be Kerry Hilson. And we just was like, hey, how you doing? You good? I'm good. Yeah, you good. I'm like, just okay. Let's go about my day. Hey, Hickey, one day we got to take off and then just go.
That'd be pretty cool, yeah. It's kind of, you know, rub elbows, but some big names. Yeah, like you said, you not only get athletes there, but then, you know, they're dating, you know, celebrities. You get a nice little cross mix there. Pretty cool.
I did see that Sierra, Russell Wilson's, well, she's a pop star. You know, I hate when you, but sometimes you got to tell people who people are, you know? Like, what do you think?
Sierra, I think, is well known enough.
But to say Sierra opened up and then I go, Russell Wilson's wife, is that too much? Am I doing too much?
I think Sierra's well known enough to be on her own.
But on a sports radio station, like, I got to mention Russell's name with her.
I guess.
Right?
Yes. In that context, because it is relevant, yes. That's fair.
I'm just trying not to get in trouble again, Hickey, okay?
No, I think you're safe.
Okay, thank you. And if not, I'll drag you with me. Anyway, Yeah, Sierra opened up and she paid homage to Serena. And then Serena obviously hosted the show. They had Nikki Glaser there making fun of a Scottie Scheffler, which is fun. And this is the part that sucked. And I don't know why. Historically, the ESPYs have always been on a Wednesday. You've had the home, because there's been years where I've gone to the home run derby and then not gone to the All-Star game so I could make it to the ESPYs on Wednesday. And sometimes it's like, oh, my God, I go to the All-Star game, but don't do the ESPYs. And so it's on typically on that Wednesday. Nickelodeon used to have its own sports award show on Thursday. And you used to get everybody. I have no idea, and we discussed this, why the ESPYs were yesterday as opposed to next week. I don't know. A lot of the Team USA men's guys, they're gone, right? They're gone. The WNBA is active, so they, as much love that they wanted to show to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they weren't there. They were playing basketball yesterday. The Major League Baseball season is still going on right now. And so it's just like, I don't know. ESPYs couldn't have been next week. What do I know? Not my money, not my venue. I'm not the sponsors, whatever. At least the ESPYs honored women, their contributions to sports, and Harrison Butker. You know what, Hickey? He didn't watch because a woman was hosting, so he probably didn't. he didn't watch. One of his guy friends heard it through, I don't know.
One of his guy friends is watching. Do you text him the clip? Do you text him, hey, they're talking about you?
Do his guy friends, do they use phones or do they use something from the 1800s? I don't know.
Carrier pigeon?
Yeah, they carrier pigeon. Let me relax now. Now I got to slow down. I was going to say I know somebody else in his house who wasn't watching the television, but I'm going to leave on that note. It's the damn. Hickey, I told you I'm trying not to, okay?
I'm staying quiet. I'm not getting dragged down here.
Don't.
This is not the Titanic.
It's not. I'm just stating the facts, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break. And speaking of women's empowerment, we're going to have a chat with Emma Jane Wilson. She's a jockey. And she's not just any jockey. She is the highest earning female jockey in history. Oh, we're going to learn something today. This is women empowerment. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll be back on the other side. I will.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Oh, please believe me. I am trying my best. I am. I'm not Harrison Butker. I'm not. Not at all. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I need to let you know, you need to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We're in the process right now of trying to track down a champion in Emma Jane Wilson, who last night, I don't want to say did something unthinkable, but for the past 20 years, she's been doing something unthinkable, just winning enough races that she has collected more than $90 million in earnings, making her the highest paid female jockey ever. And so once we get a hold of Emma Jane, we will get her here on the air. For all I know, she could still be celebrating. That's what happens when you're a winner. You celebrate these things. Okay, so we'll look for Emma and then we'll get her on the air at some point. Okay, now. Speaking of winners, not everybody could be a winner. And we discussed this partially earlier on in the show. As we discussed Paul Skeens, who is going to start the All-Star game next week. And then we heard from a LeBron James, whose career is basically coming to an end. What a shock, what a surprise. LeBron James wanted to let everybody know that he is not going to be participating in 2028 in the Olympics. His time is done. It's up. It's finished. It's cooked. All right. Charles Barkley is sitting around because what else is Charles Barkley going to do outside of discussing the current world of sports? This is what Charles Barkley has done successfully better than anybody over the past 20 years. Charles Barkley's just sitting around golfing. Charles Barkley is just watching TV. And recently, Charles Barkley is out in California. And he was sitting down with NBC Sports with the Bay Area. And of course, Charles Barkley was asked about another organization that is probably finished right now. And that's the Golden State Warriors. While Steph Curry is in Abu Dhabi, going ahead and throwing alley-oops to LeBron James. And Charles Barkley is pretty much saying that another squad is done. And we'll get into that next break. But one thing we have to do right now is have a conversation with someone who is a winner. Emma Jane Wilson is joining us. Emma, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to join us. You had a pretty big victory last night at Woodbine. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you very much. It was a big victory. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it one time because, you know, I don't want to put your business on Front Street, but it's pretty public knowledge here. You are the highest earning female jockey in history. We're talking excess of $90 million. That is U.S. dollars. Yes, it's been a 20-year climb to get to this point.
Yes.
At what point? You've been all over the world. When do you pinch yourself?
I've been pinching myself excessively the last few days, definitely. It's just been surreal. I knew that the record was in my reach at the beginning of the season, and, you know, it was sort of, I didn't really worry about it. It wasn't something I focused on. And even still, like, over the last couple of days, it hasn't been, you know, it's been difficult to not focus on it. But, you know, I go out, ride every race, you know, like, just like it's any other race, focused and determined to win. But knowing that each and every one of them, you know, even just running, you know, third could potentially put me over the record number. You know, it was there, and it was, it's a big milestone, and it meant a lot. So there's a little bit of weight there.
Emma, what got you onto a horse to even become a jockey? We got people listening from California to Atlanta. We got plenty of listeners from up in Toronto, your neck of the woods. What got you onto a horse?
Ever since I was a kid, I had a connection with animals in general. I still do. But you know, horses were always my true love. There was just something about them. And then to take that and, you know, to go to the races and see them take these, you know, animals and turn them into professional athletes, because that is what they are, you know, and teach them how to go as fast as possible and compete and win races. That to me was just, take my two loves of horses and competition and sport, that was me, you know. So I loved horses ever since I was a kid. I wanted to ride them. I wanted to get to know them, you know, get that connection and go from there. So, you know, to go back in history and reminisce of the times where I'm standing in the school barn, you know, trying, terrified, with my dad encouraging me to, you know, be assertive and get the saddle up over their back and learn how to take care of them and tack them up. It's to think here I am now is just, if I could go back in time and whisper that to myself, I might fall over.
One of the world's most successful jockeys is joining us here, Emma Jane Wilson. Emma, you've been at this for 20 years. 20 years. The world has changed a lot from 2004 to here in 2024. What have been the biggest challenges? Is being a woman the biggest challenge? Is it the respect? Is it not? How do you view that?
You know, I think one of the key things, Woodbine has been always a very forward and, you know, equitable place to apply your trade, and that, you know, I was beneficial in that sense because I consider Woodbine my backyard. But we had so many female riders at Woodbine pave the way in the sense, you know, at Woodbine. But you go back in time even more, you know, Julie Crone and whose record I broke, you know, started in the 80s, and there were hurdles and, you know, preconceived notions that, you know, gave challenges to her as well. So there's still a lot to move forward on. But I don't think that those preconceived notions are tied anymore. You can't say, oh, well, that rider isn't very good because he's a girl. They're just not very good because they're not very good. Mm-hmm. You know, gender means nothing, and that's what it should be.
Well, Emma, you mentioned Julie, whose record that you broke, and she left you with some nice words and a very nice message. What did that mean to you? And what has the relationship meant to you to even get to this point?
Well, I remember getting the phone calls from her when I was, you know, just starting out. And here I am, you know, speaking to, you know, Julie Crone. And she was giving me tips. I started scratching down on the piece of paper as close as I could. Anything and everything that she said, I didn't want to miss one piece of information that could make me a better rider. And when she found out that I was coming closer to the record this spring, she connected with me and touched base and kept, you know, texting and calling, are you close? Are you getting there? Like, the encouragement and the support was, you know, second to none, really. You know, I'm chasing down her record, and there she is cheering me on. So that is true sportsmanship, and, you know, I really appreciated it.
Well, Emma, let me ask you this. What's next for you?
Tomorrow's a race card. You know, we as jockeys, we have to live in the moment, in the sense you may ride, you know, 5 to 10 races a day, and each one of those races is their own competition with owners and trainers and, you know, the crew that have gotten that horse ready to compete. And as you change, you go one race to the next race, those are new connections, and then that's what they've been focusing on. So as a jockey, you have to be able to put away what the last race you rode, win, loser, or whatnot, and focus on the next one with the same determination that you brought every time. So for me, that's, you know, where I'm at now. I did break the record, but, you know, I rode about 4 races today, and I'm riding a few tomorrow, and I'm going to be focusing on each and every one of them, those races individually, and you know, going to capitalize and hopefully win, continue with the record and raise the bar.
Certainly the mindset of one of the world's most successful jockeys here. Let me ask you this, Emma. You got to have an answer for this one. When you are not racing, what is occupying your time? What is something else that you're interested in?
Well, occupying every other part of my time is my home life. I'm married to my wife, Laura Trotter, and we have 2 identical twin 7-year-old girls. And they occupy every other ounce of my time that I can, and that is absolutely by choice. I don't get to see them nearly as much as I would like, but they come out and root for me when they can, and so it's... It is definitely a good way to switch off, so to speak.
Hey, listen, kids are the ultimate switch off, Emma. So
absolutely.
I want to congratulate you again and wish you nothing but the best. Where can people follow you and your journey? Are you social? Where can people keep up with you?
I am. I'm Instagram and Twitter. I have Emma Jane Wilson with underscore in between on Instagram and EJ Wilson 81 on Twitter. So.
Well, Emma, thank you for taking time in between the races to come and talk to us. And then one day, if I want to learn, am I too late in life? I can't be a jockey, right? I'm screwed, right? Screwed.
Well, you're never too late to learn something new. Your whole thing, I'm on the phone with you. Do you weigh about 100 and some odd pounds?
I weigh more than 100 pounds. I gotta lose some. If I lose weight, I'm going to disappear off the face of the earth.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what some of the jockeys have to do with losing so much weight. They feel like they're going to disappear. So it's a tough game to play. But when you're in love with it, you'll do anything for it.
Well, listen, you are one of the best. Continued success, onward and upward, Emma. Thank you for the time and good luck. Okay.
Cheers. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
No doubt about it. That Emma Jane Wilson last night, Emma, at Woodbine Racetrack up in Ontario. She became the highest earning female jockey in history. $90+ million. Now, I'm a find me a horse, okay? I'm a find me one, and I'm a ride it, and I'm a race against somebody. I'm trying to catch up to Emma. I'm working on it. Congratulations, Emma. That's a lot of racing. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We just spoke to a winner. On the other side of the break, unfortunately, we have to get into some losers. I told you Charles Barkley thinks somebody's a loser. We got an NFL player who thinks his brother is a loser. And then we even have an NFL wide receiver who thinks his former quarterback, well, he didn't call him a loser, I am. But he said, we need to sit this guy down. Yeah, we've got to go from a winner to a loser. I got you covered here. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Oh, yeah, it's all up. Oh, thank you for the kind words. It is all about the Benjamins. Emma Jane Wilson just joined us. She has made more money than any female jockey ever. $90 million. Thank you, Emma. Thank you for coming through. Now, she made it very clear to me that I have no future as a jockey. Hickey, you don't either. Sorry. You can't do it. Not for you.
I will say I like the fact that I can say I'm too tall to be a jockey.
Too tall and too heavy?
Too good of shape is how I'll frame it.
Excuse me? You being disrespectful? Do we need to call her back?
No, I'm saying for a jockey, you got to be light and small, right?
I would say
5'11". Yeah. I am too tall, and thankfully, I don't have a lot of fat on me. I got, I like to think I got some muscle. And you can't lose muscle, so I like to think that I'm too good a shape. Like, I don't think the jockeys are bench pressing in between horse races.
Okay.
So they don't have a lot of muscle on them.
They're not in shape is what you're saying.
They're in jockey shape,
uh-huh,
which is staying light.
Okay. So you don't want to go down to 98 pounds?
I do not, no. I would like them $90 million, though, but at my current weight would be ideal.
How heavy are jockeys? Oh, these are for the men, okay? While every race will have a different set of rules, the average horse jockey weight requirement falls between 112 and 126 pounds.
And these are not like 20-year-old guys. These are like 40 and 50-year-old men.
Yeah. While female horse jockeys weigh on average 107. Yeah.
Crazy.
I can't do that.
No?
Can't sit in a sauna for how many hours? I haven't been 126.
Since what, you were 12?
Yeah, probably.
That's a 12-year-old.
Yeah, maybe younger than that, man. Listen, I weigh myself every now and then. I'm shocked a little bit. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm still in good shape. I'm in great shape. But I mean, damn, 126? Oh, whoa. I don't know. Hickey, if I weighed 126 pounds, people would look at me and say, are you on crack? Like, they would. People would ask, what is wrong with you? Are you okay? Like, people would look at, they'd be like, are you okay? Man, I don't got no weight to lose, bruh. 126? Damn. Congratulations to Emma. Not for me, though. Now, could I, if I knew I was getting $90 million, could I weigh 126? Yeah.
You find a way.
Yeah, not eat. I don't know. How do you just water diet? Like, how do you do that?
I guess live in the sauna and just sweat everything out.
Oh, my God. Oh, how?
I don't know. I mean, there's some other ways, but the healthiest.
Yeah, what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, you think about fighters when they rehydrate, like, but even still, man, I'd have to, I'm a 40, 50.
At least for fighters, though, that's like one day, right? Like you kind of, or I mean, I guess they do it for a few weeks, but like you only have to be that weight for one day.
Correct.
And jockey got to be this weight for the whole, you're essentially the whole, you're your right. whole career.
You're right. You're right.
That's tough.
This is not a matter of dehydrating yourself over 24 hours and to stand on a scale to immediately rehydrate right after. And even that to me is ridiculous, okay? That you can just lose that much and water weight? Like, people don't understand. You talk about boxers, the physical discipline of it? My God, not me. Not me. Not me. Sometimes I go, do I want to have a burger? And I'm like, no. I'm a human. I want to eat everything, though, but I try not to. Shout-outs to the professional athletes, man. Shout-outs to the people that used to be athletes. Like somebody like T.O. was at the ESPYs last night. Terrell Owens is almost 50 years old. Terrell Owens still looks like he could, he's not playing the NFL, but his body sure looks like it. How old is T.O.? 40? He's 50 flat. God bless him. He turned 50 in December. T.O.'s hickey. He's 50 years old. Damn.
He looks great.
He is 50.
I would have guessed like 37.
Yo. Have you seen him? Have you seen his body running these routes?
Does he still have a six-pack?
Yes.
Crazy.
This man is 50. It's like a couple of years ago, he was legitimately going, yeah, I'm going to go back into the NFL. What? And you know Hickey? If you needed him, I don't know, in a slot or something like that, I think he'd give you a couple of plays a game. You want to take that hit? No, but I think he could catch the ball in a good spot. I mean, damn.
Do you think he's still working out hard? Because he looks great. Is that natural?
T.O. is, you think he's taking stuff?
No. Oh. I more meant some people just like are gifted, yes, where like they don't have to, yes, really work out that much and have like the chiseled body.
I think it's both.
Because like, what are you working out that hard for at 50 years old? What are you training for? Would be my
You know what? I give him, that's mind over matter. I want to give T.O. credit because it's tough. It's tough maintaining. Like when you're T.O., and let's be real, this man was the center of attention his entire career. Like, he was the guy. Whether he demanded or commanded the attention, he was going to get it. And a lot of people find it tough. Like, when the lights go off, they fall off a cliff. And we know in the case of NFL players, and I think a lot of athletes, you go into a place where you're now isolated, right? Like, he hasn't seemingly fallen down a hole. He's always been about health and fitness in his body, and to keep it up is like, damn. I want to be like him when I get older, man. T.O. looks like he looks better than some of the actual players playing right now. Let's put it that way. Good for Terrell Owens. Speaking of some of the players playing, I don't know what's in the air, what's in the water, but when we get to the top of the hour, when we get to next hour, NFL players have been dissing the hell out of each other. Intentionally, unintentionally, Davante Adams is kind of saying, yeah, I told him Jimmy Garoppolo needs to sit. Whoa, you admitted that on TV? Whoa. We got the St. Brown brothers. At least one of them is dissing the other one. He's like, you'll never win anything. Whoa. Tyreek Hill's not dissing anybody. Tyreek Hill actually gave everybody a list of his top five quarterbacks. Okay. I wonder who made the list. And then I did tell you about Charles Barkley before Emma joined us. You know what? Let's get into the loser conversation. Somebody that thinks Charles Barkley thinks is going to be a loser, it's the Golden State Warriors. What a shock, right? Take a listen right now to Charles Barkley on NBC Sports Bay Area.
They got a mediocre team. Yeah. They were mediocre last year. They're going to be even more mediocre next year.
Who do they need to go out and get this offseason?
Well, they just all passed their prime. So that run is over.
Yeah, well, Steph Curry kind of sort of said the same thing. Well, he didn't say that. He said, you're going to be tough, hard-pressed to see a dynasty like the dynasty you saw with us. That's what he said. NBA's not built that way. And it looks like the first domino has fallen. Klay Thompson is in Dallas, and Draymond is still there, maybe not punching anybody. There's nobody to punch right now. And Steph Curry is in dreamland throwing lobs to LeBron James. Now, Hickey, this does not make financial sense. I don't know how it could make sense. Wouldn't it be cool if Steph Curry could be a Laker? It's not going to happen, but wouldn't that be cool?
You know, I don't think it would be cool, personally. I like the fact that Steph could stay on one team and stay there for a whole career. I find I just don't like when, like, athletes that you're used to seeing in one jersey then, like, at the end are in, just, it would just, to me, look too weird.
Let him suffer?
Let him suffer.
Damn.
And that's a terrible way to say it.
This is like, I mean, we've got a lot of athletes that just suffered on a team on the way out. And, oh, it's Steph Curry. You think he's going to end his career as a Warrior?
I do. Yes. You don't?
I don't. Look, man, I'm looking at the roster right now. Championship, let's think about this. Steph Curry, Buddy Hield, Brandon Podziemski, Kuminga, Draymond Green. And they still don't have a big man worth a damn. Oh, and they brought in Kyle Anderson. Whoop-de-doo.
him and Draymond. I'll watch that fight in practice all day.
Who? Kyle Anderson and
And Draymond. Well, Kyle Anderson, we know, is not afraid to punch a bigger man than him.
Wait. Didn't Rudy Gobert punch him first?
Oh, you're right. I mixed that up. You're right.
Draymond knows this already, so Draymond's going to punch him. He thinks he's soft, I bet. I mean, come on. Draymond choked Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert punched Kyle Anderson.
You're right.
If we got to do the math equation, Draymond thinks that Kyle Anderson is probably lesser than Rudy. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to come back and talk about the other loser NFL teams. That's what I do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't get mad, guy from Rutgers.